of things. And so we really appreciate the wisdom he brings, and it's great to have him here to see and be a part of what's going on this morning. So, Father, we just thank you for Steve. Lord Jesus, thank you that he is a man whose heart is completely yours, Father. And it says that those are the kinds of people you can show your strength in. And so, Jesus, our every expectation is that we see the strength and the love and the beauty of the Lord this morning through what Steve brings us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great. Thank you, Chris. And it's just really good to be with you. I've kind of been looking forward to being in the Slough River congregation. I've kind of feel like I've kind of heard so much about you from Chris, from other members of the leadership team. It's just great to be able to be here firsthand. This great building. It's fantastic, isn't it? What a kind of great provision from God. Easy to get to. Well, I kind of went the wrong way, but I'm sure it is if you know where it is. But it's just feels so right and so much at home. I hope you're kind of appreciating it. And 3 months in, and yet just a sense of the presence of God amongst you, and so much space for others to be added, which is great, isn't it? Just before I'd like to pray, but during the course of the morning, as the kind of themes and scriptures have emerged, there's a little quotation that I heard a little while ago from a Croatian pastor by the name of Peter Kossoff. And he coined this phrase, I'll try to get it right, but he talked about hope being the skill to hear the music of the future. And faith is the courage to dance to it today. Let me just say that again. That hope is a skill to hear the music of the future. And faith is the courage to dance to it today. And I'm just sensing at this moment of time, and I felt it this morning amongst you, in all kinds of different settings across the UK. One of the roles that I'm fulfilling at the moment is chairing this initiative called Hope, which is just exploding all across the place. We're going to set ourselves a target of 500 locations. I just got an email just after Christmas that actually it's 1,190 locations that have identified with this thing called Hope. Locations large and small, all over the place, all over the country. And it just seems to me, as I visit some of these locations, I get emails and messages and telephone calls, that there are people of God that are hearing some music. But more than just hearing the music, they're actually taking the risk, being courageous enough to dance today to that music. And I sense this morning amongst us, as we've worshipped, that it's felt like here's a group of people in the context of Slough that are looking to dance to the music. Maybe they're just the sound, quiet tunes that you're hearing at this moment of time, but you're dancing to it. You're beginning to dance to it. And let me encourage you in that. I'd love this morning, I was intrigued actually just to point out an interesting thing. Whenever you're introduced at a church, you always are interested how you're introduced. And I noticed in my introduction that Steve also serves a number of organisations such as Fusion, Spring. I wonder who Spring is. Does anybody have any idea what Spring is? But I'm intrigued if somebody, is that you? I wondered if it was Spring Harvest, Tom, but somehow the harvest bit got deleted. No, I'm not complaining at all. I'm always just interested. But what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to kind of ask the question of what kind of church, what kind of congregation of River Church do you want to be? What kind of church is God asking you to be? And what kind of people in order to be that kind of church? Because actually church is just made up of people that are expressing the life of God that amongst themselves. But what kind of, and I just kind of feel like it's kind of a good time, 3 months in, to kind of ask that kind of question. What I'm going to, I want to explore it through the passage in John chapter 13, Jesus washing the disciples' feet. I'm not suggesting what I'm bringing to you is a definitive list of the only kind of church that you should be, but I just bring this to you as a maybe an offering this morning of maybe some kind of values, not simply activities, because we can fill up our lives with activities, not just activities, but values that might be the values that would underpin the kind of church that you want to be. And that in that, God will release a fresh sense of faith and courage as the contribution that you have to make into this setting at this particular time. And let me say right at the beginning that I'm passionate about this thing called church. I believe in it. I don't believe it was a kind of 21st century invention or indeed a first century invention. It was right at the very heart of God. It was God's idea, this thing called church. And I believe Bill Hybels has coined that phrase, it's the hope for the world. The church is the hope for the world. I believe that. That what you are doing here, not on your own, alongside lots of other communities around the Slough area, is the hope for Slough. That's how important what's happening here is. So it's important what we look at this morning and how we assess what God has for us in terms of this expression of the body of Christ in this area. Lord, we want to ask you that you speak to us this morning through your word. We open your word and we ask that faith might be released to us and that we might find a fresh confidence in you and fresh confidence in what you've called us to. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read John chapter 13 to you. I'm going to use the message. And I'd just kind of like you, as it were, to imagine that you are here in this scene. Part of the trouble, if you've been around the Christian church for a while, is that you know the story. We know the stories, don't we? You kind of know how it ends. But I want you to try to get inside the story and feel the story. I kind of, if you can kind of imagine that you are one of the disciples sitting around with Jesus, the crowds have all gone. They aren't there anymore. It's just Jesus and his friends. It's a few hours before he's going to be arrested. And they are in an upper room and they are sitting around a meal table. And it's a really important time. It's kind of one of the last, most intimate moments that Jesus is going to have with his disciples. And an amazing event takes place before our very eyes. So as I read it, would you try to feel it, not just hear it? Okay. Jesus knew that the Father had put him in complete charge of everything, that he came from God and was on his way back to God. So he got up from the supper table, set aside his robe, put on his apron, and then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of his disciples, drying them with his apron. And when he got to Simon Peter, Peter said, "Master, you wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but it will become clear to you later." Peter persisted, "You're not going to wash my feet ever." Good old Peter. Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you can't be part of what I'm doing." "Master," said Peter, "not only my feet then, wash my hands, wash my head." Jesus said, "If you don't have a bath in the morning, you only need to wash your feet now. You're clean from your head to your toe. My concern, you understand, is holiness, not hygiene. So now you're clean, but not every one of you." He knew who was going to betray him. That's why he said, "Not every one of you." And after he'd finished washing their feet, he took his robe, put it back on, and went back to his place at the table. And then he said, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You address me as teacher and master, and rightly so. That is what I am. So if I, the master and teacher, wash your feet, you must wash each other's feet. I've laid down a pattern for you. What I've done, you do. I'm only pointing out the obvious. A servant is not ranked above his master. An employee doesn't give orders to the employer. You, if you understand what I'm telling you, act like it and live a blessed life. Was that not going very well? Okay. Wow. Wow. You know, let's get our head into this. What we've just experienced, what we've just seen, is a wow moment. This is Jesus teaching through his actions. This is a parable through drama. Jesus is orchestrating. He's demonstrating. He's making an incredibly strong statement or series of statements to his disciples. Notice how the story starts. Jesus knew, this is John making a kind of editorial comment, Jesus knew the Father had put him in complete charge of everything, that had come from God and was on his way back to God. See, Jesus comes to this meal incredibly secure in his own identity. He knew who he was. He knew where he was going. He knew the calling. He knew his destiny. And it's out of this, John's comments. In fact, the verse 4 starts, so. It's in the light of this, this security, this clarity, this identity, that he's able to proceed with what he's called to do. Let me say this to you. It's really important that you as a community, as a congregation, are clear what God's called you to, who he's called you to be. You see, there are loads of churches around Slough, aren't there? I don't know Slough well, but I'm sure if we were to wander around this morning at a particular time, there are a number of communities of faith that are meeting in all kinds of different backgrounds and traditions. And many of them, I'm sure, are doing wonderful work into their communities. Let's thank God for that. God hasn't called you on your own into Slough. He's called you part of a broader, bigger body of Christ. But there's a unique contribution that God has called you to make. That's why you're here. That's why there's the sense. That's why you've joined together to commit yourself, probably at some cost, in order to be part of this congregation. Let's be honest, it would probably be easier to be in the larger congregation at Maidenhead or Marlow or part of Journey. It would be easier to be there. But no, you're here. You're rattling around this hall. Why? Because God's called you here. And God's called you to make your unique contribution into this setting. That's why what we're talking about this morning is really important. What is the unique contribution that God has called you here, River Church, meeting in Slough, to express and to be? Okay, let's look at it. I want to give you kind of three little markers out of this particular passage. And the first marker is hospitality. Look how it starts. So he got up from the supper table. I don't know if you've kind of noticed, reading the scriptures in the life of Jesus, how often the meal table, food, is pretty central to what happens around Jesus. I'm delighted that you're having a New Year's meal the beginning of February. A little late, but you're doing food stuff. The life of Jesus was full of food stuff. And whether it was banquets or picnics, whether it was barbecues on the meal on the beach, whether it was thousands or just a few, whether it was the rich, the influential, or the poor, and that what were described as undesirables, Jesus had meals together. There was hospitality. Too often it was a place where stories were told, where teaching took place. For about 8 or 9 years around our household, until fairly recently, because we just moved into some temporary house, we've had this thing called a breakfast club. And our breakfast club happened every couple of weeks, and people would come. We'd have a large table. It would be on a Saturday morning. We'd meet together. Sometimes it'd be a small group, sometimes it'd be a far larger group, and we would have
breakfast together. That's why the name came, okay? Breakfast Club. And it was people who were on the way to faith, people who had faith but were in danger of losing faith, people of all kinds of backgrounds, and were kind of part of this little group or larger group that we used to meet, what used to meet together. And people found faith in the context of that group. And it was supposed to start at 8:30, finish at 10:30. I think the record was a finishing people leaving at 8 o'clock in the evening. Yeah, long breakfast, exactly. It was a whole mixture of people. There were about two or three people were alcoholics, were part of that group. One guy came out as a gay. Two or three people were soft drug users that were part of that group. But it was a group of people that were together. And they were we are friends together. Hospitality, you see, is an attitude of mind which says you're included. Jesus continually looked to include. People were excluding themselves and excluding him, often the religious people, but Jesus was continually looking to include. You know, we Brits aren't all that good at this sometimes. You know, we want to do all the kind of, if we're doing a meal, it's got to be special, hasn't it? You know, it's got to be, you know, the candles and the special, we get the best cutlery out. And do you know what I mean? We do all this kind of special stuff. Other cultures are a lot better at it than we are. But hospitality is not just about special meals or special get-togethers. It's an attitude, a heart, which looks to include. It says, look, I'm watching rugby tonight. Why don't you come round and watch with me? It's an attitude which says, look, I'm going for a walk. We're having a party, we're having a celebration. Why don't you come along as well? It's an attitude which takes in cakes and goodies to work and hands them around and clues people in. I was in an event last night. In fact, it was one of these launch events of Hope, and a lovely story was told by one guy. Where he went along to a party or kind of a bit of a celebration that a guy had. He'd recently moved into the area, and it was an American guy who'd moved, felt God had called him into this particular part of the country, and he'd moved onto this relatively small estate. And a friend of mine went along to a party that he was having. He was chatting to some of the neighbours of this particular guy. And the neighbours put it like this. He said, you know, it's fantastic since Dave moved in. He has changed this area. He's just organized so many barbecues and parties and included us in, and the kids have organized. He has transformed our area. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that what we're about? It isn't that we have to organize these big things. We can just be ourselves and include other people in on them. And there are risks in that. See, it's not just about including people who are like us in it. How many people here are on Facebook? Okay, a few of us are. If you don't know what Facebook is, it's kind of this kind of networking thing on the net where you can communicate with your mates. Now, I'm a relatively late convert to Facebook, so I've probably been on about six months, but I've acquired quite a number of friends, including some of the people who were part of Breakfast Club, or people that were kind of around the edge of a Breakfast Club. And we ran Alf, of course, off it. I got an email from one of my friends recently. She said to me, you better check your Facebook. And I hadn't been checking my Facebook for a few days. I went onto Facebook and... Well, let me put it this way. There was a picture on Facebook which had been sent from a friend of mine, linked with Breakfast Club, which was highly inappropriate for a church leader to have on his Facebook. You know, she had, on Facebook, you can send it. You can send it to all your mates, you see. Well, I got one from someone whose name I won't tell you. She's been part of the kind of fringe of this thing called Breakfast Club. And she just sent out this... frankly, quite embarrassing picture that was now on my Facebook. And it was kind of inappropriate. And you know what you want to say? My first reaction was this. What will other people think if they see that picture on my Facebook? What will they think? And when I had that thought, my second thought was, Lord, forgive me. Because it's far more important to me that this particular person who sent me this particular disgusting picture is my friend, even though I wish they weren't sending me pictures like that, than I dismiss them because they are sending pictures like that. That's a bit complicated statement, but does that make sense? Do you understand that? See, it's about including people who aren't just nice like we are. Because if we're all we're going to end up is lots of nice people around, not nice of people who kind of love God together. But actually, we aren't doing that in Slough for those kind of purposes, are we? We're doing it for people who might end up sending us dodgy pictures on Facebook. Yes? Some of you are not sure about that. Okay. All right. So, what kind of church do you want to be? How about us being a kind of church that includes people in, that's a hospitable church? Second one. How about being a kind of church that gets our hands dirty kind of church? Look at verse 4. Setting aside his rope. His robe. I don't know what he's doing with a rope. Setting aside his robe, he put on an apron. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of his disciples, drying them with his apron. Flipping heck. Get your head around it. This is Jesus, Creator Jesus, incarnate God, down on his knees, washing the feet of Palestinian tradesmen. No rubber gloves. No disinfectant. Just human flesh being touched by God himself. That's incredible, isn't it? That's a kind of awesome moment, isn't it? And Jesus is orchestrating this, and we shouldn't be surprised by it. You see, he's made a habit, hasn't he, over the years, of reaching out to those on the edge, those that were less desirable, the foreigners, the women, the tax collectors, the fishermen, even the lepers. What does it mean for us to get our hands dirty? What does it mean for you? River Church over the years actually has had a bit of a history of getting its hands dirty. In fact, and the church has included all kinds of people who have been paid to get their hands dirty. And I know, just talking to Richard. Richard teaches here as a teacher, but working as a teacher. Is it getting your hands kind of dirty kind of job? Tracy there, working as a teacher. Social workers, doctors, caring professions. There are people in the church, River Church, that are actually being employed as getting your hands dirty type roles. The church itself, over the years, through homelessness projects, through working with youth, through its involvements in all kind of different settings internationally, has been a church that has been willing to get its hands dirty. And I'm asking this morning, what does it mean for you as a community? Setting off 3 months in, young baby as you are, what does getting your hands dirty mean into this particular setting? It's going to mean to different things to different ones of us. One of the things that in the context of hope that has really kind of people have just risen to the challenge of and has had quite an interesting response to. There's an initiative which came out of Soul Survivor actually a few years ago, which was called AOK Days. And AOK Days are called Acts of Kindness Days. And Acts of Kindness Days are just kind of days where somebody kind of just looks for a kind of crazy act of kindness thing to do. You know, and kind of people have kind of picked it up, and now there's a challenge that's gone out over the course of the year. Could we do 1 million hours of kindness during the course of a year? And in fact, there's a kind of particular weekend, which is the kind of Pentecost weekend, the bank holiday at the beginning of May, where people are saying, look, let's have it as a weekend just to be doing random acts of kindness. And then a whole group of young people have kind of got together, and they're doing this kind of hope revolution, and they're all texting each other and emailing each other with crazy acts that they could do during the course of a day. You know, so the designating, you know, like a Tuesday is an act of kindness day, and you kind of, you get a text, you know, give a Mars bar to your maths teacher, or, you know, kind of talk to a checkout person, or, you know, or give a cup of tea to the refuse collector. You know, I mean, just crazy acts of kindness, getting our hands dirty kind of acts. And you know what? I just love that. I just love the thought of the church across the UK being known as a church in the midst of everything else that we're about, being as a church that is just likes being kind to people. That's something to rise to, isn't it? Now I'm sure there are strategic things that we ought to be doing, and you know, but that's, hey, how about Slough River Church being known as a church that was just got about, get on being kind in the streets in which you live, where there's maybe a big pile of rubbish that always collects in one particular part of your street, and you think to yourself, why doesn't the council do something about it? And you think about ringing up the council or ringing up the kind of local council office and complaining about that pile of rubbish. How about you're the one that goes out, rather than the council doing it, you go out and you get some of your mates out and you clear the rubbish away. How about it that we become known as the people that get our hands dirty, because we love people and we love the world in which Jesus has put us? Okay, let me just say this, that this kind of whole area of getting our hands dirty, it comes out of an attitude of heart, doesn't it? And the attitude of heart that it comes out of, let me read in verse 14. Jesus is saying this: so if I, the master and teacher, wash your feet, you must now wash each other's feet. I've laid it down as a pattern for you. What I've done, you do. I'm only pointing out the obvious. You see, the kind of church that is willing to get its hands dirty is the kind of church that has at the very heart of it an attitude of a servant. You see, in this particular context, Jesus shouldn't have been doing that. It should have been someone who was paid to do it. It should have been the servant, or at the very least, it should have been one of the disciples. What were they doing? Why would it, had it been left to him? But the very heart that Jesus is looking for amongst us is the heart and the attitude of a servant. You see, our society, and this is so counterculture, isn't it? Our society is dominated, and it's dominated by the attitude of, what can I get out of something? What will meet my needs? How can I progress my career? How can I be seen to have been greater influence and greater status? That's how our society lives. That's how it works. And that this is so countercultural. This attitude of the servant cuts across all of that. Jesus calls us to a life of service. And let's be honest. You know, the government hasn't got an answer to the problems that we're facing. I mean, at this moment of time, UNICEF just a few months ago published a report regarding bringing up of children in our country. I don't know if you saw that report, but the end result of the report was this, or the conclusion of the report was this, that we were right at the bottom of the table of developed countries as a suitable environment for bringing up children. Now, this is United Kingdom. This isn't some kind of obscure, you know, kind of African nation that we read about in the press. No, this is the United Nations. This is United Kingdom. We are so rich economically, and yet so poor in so many other areas. How about us as a church cutting through so much of the dominant attitudes and values that underpin our society, and we say, we're going to get our hands dirty. We are going to be a servant church, reaching out to our community with an attitude of heart of love. So, final one. We've talked about hospitality, talked about getting our hands dirty. And then the final one. How about us being a kind of church that offers a washing. What did you say? Jesus said, verse 8, if I don't wash you, you can't be part of what I'm doing. You see, we don't just want to be a church that's offering hospitality, including, or indeed a church that's getting our hands dirty. We've got more to offer as well. We are actually offering perhaps the most valuable thing that we can offer to any person. We're offering a spiritual washing, a cleansing. Let's never forget that the deepest need that any person walking on the face of the earth has is to connect, to reconnect with the Creator God. That's the deepest need. See, selfishness, sin has got in the way. We kind of know that, don't we? Intellectually, we know it. We've read the scriptures. If you're like me, you've been a Christian for quite a long time, and therefore it's kind of hard to remember quite what life was like without a relationship with God. But let me tell you, the heart of the gospel is that actually it's desperate without God. We were made. Every person walking on the face of the earth was made for relationship with God. Without relationship with God, we are lost. And therefore, as a community here, in the midst of offering hospitality, inclusiveness, in the midst of an attitude of serving, getting our hands dirty, we are also offering a washing, a cleansing. We offer a relationship with God, which sees selfishness and sin dealt with through people coming to a place of recognition of their need, recognition of their need of a Saviour, that we have words of life. One of the wonderful things that we've endeavoured to bring together in the Hope Initiative, and we've unapologetically done this, and in certain settings we've had to emphasise one thing, and other settings we've had to emphasise the other. We are saying that in Hope, it's about actions, and it's also about words. The good news of Jesus Christ is good news, which involves us being what people that bring actions, that see things change, that look for our society to be changed. But we are also committed to words. The good news of the gospel is good news that a person can come into relationship with God. They can be washed. Many of us here, if not all of us, have in the past known that washing, that cleansing. And that's what we bring. That's the unique contribution that you bring. Among others in Slough, but we bring an opportunity. The good news of a Saviour. Of sins to be forgiven. Of right relationship with God. Of entrance into the family of God, of the Holy Spirit being available to us. That's what we offer. It's part of our message. I wonder if we can pray together. Chris, in a moment, I'll hand back to you. If you want to take this on, I'll pray and then hand it over to you. What kind of church? Hospitable church. Getting our hands dirty church. Offering a washing church. Holy Spirit, our confession is that we so desperately need you. We ask you that you would come by your Spirit upon us afresh and new today. Lord, save us from somehow feeling that we can make this happen through our activities and our endless hard work. Lord, we confess that we are committed to hard work. We are committed to the need for engagement with you, but we recognize today that we need you to be upon us by your Spirit, to come upon us. Lord, we want to be inclusive. We want to be hospitable. Lord, we want to serve. We want to get our hands dirty. Lord, we are grateful for the good news message of the gospel that you have given to us. But we ask you that you'll come by your Spirit upon us. That you'll empower us to serve you well. You'll empower us, Lord, to make the unique contribution that you have called us to into this city of Slough. Help us to see the things that you're doing. Help us to see the things that you're calling us to. Help us to hear the music that you are playing. And give us courage, Lord, to dance to that today. Jesus.
Amen. I think Steve was speaking, it reminded me of a quote that I heard, where it talks about the fact that, and we heard it so clearly in this passage, that when Jesus serves, he does so knowing he's a king. And when he exercises authority, when he reigns, he does so knowing he's a servant. And there's that tension. And Father, we want to know the reality of both those things, that we are a royal priesthood. We are children of the king. But we take that and want to, Lord, exercise service with it. Father, also, Lord Jesus, we want to know our calling to serve. But, Father, in that place of service, to know that we have the authority of heaven that stands behind us, that there is a power in our binding and our loosing, that where our hearts really do look to release goodness and grace, then goodness and grace will flow there. Where our hearts really do look to change oppression and we act with that there is an authority to change that. So, Father, may we know both those things and know how to use them. That, Father, we are a royal priesthood, but we are a servant people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good. We're going to have time for coffees and time to have fellowship together and get to know each other and keep on talking. Really encourage folks to make the most of the meal that's coming up. If you can be there, it'd be fantastic. So let's just interact and share life together. It's good to be here this morning. If you're not yet joined into one of the midweek groups, really would encourage you to. There are various ones going on. So have a chat with someone about the ones that are there if you'd like to find something to link into during the week. So let's build our relationships together, seek the Lord together, and keep on seeing good things. Amen. Amen.